You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, yes, I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the word blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m., and that's 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And we're glad to have you with us. We've got a jam-packed show. We're going to be covering a number of critical issues. Thanks to Dr. Ted Brewer in the hour before for plugging our show. And we're the Mutual Admiration Society here, Ted, because I think you do a wonderful job. And speaking of Ted, he'll be on with us next week to talk to us about some health issues. And speaking of health issues, you're not going to want to tune out in the third hour, as our own Katie Whalen is going to be interviewing Dr. Toshiro about energy medicine. And if you've not heard of this before, it's fantastic. It has such great promise. There's such possibilities for healing. It's amazing. And then in the last half hour, I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman from Veterans on Patrol. And they're making a huge difference for our veterans who we cast aside like some piece of garbage when they return from Afghanistan and Iraq. And Lewis is trying to make a great, great difference, and he's encountering some resistance, and we're going to bring him on to talk about that. And we're also going to be having him tell us what we can do to help our veterans. We may not agree with their mission all the time, but we do agree these are America's finest and America's bravest. Well, in the first 2 hours, we have a good friend of mine on, Virginia Farver, and it's been far, far too long since we've had Virginia on the show. And she's going to talk about dangers that are a part of our everyday life. We take for granted using cell phones, being in community Wi-Fi, having Wi-Fi throughout your house, having cell phone towers, electrical power grids near you. And there is now irrefutable evidence. Remember, I used to teach this subject at the university level, graduate level, how to do research. And I'm going to tell you again, I'll say it again, there is irrefutable evidence that what we're doing electromagnetically in our own society is dangerous and causes cancer clusters. And we're going to be talking about what the dangers are. And more importantly, Virginia is going to be sharing what we can do as much as possible to mitigate some of those dangers. So without further ado, let's go up to the People's Republic of Larimer County, as I like to call it. And those of you who follow the show and Stacey Lynn and all that's gone on up there, you know why I've dubbed them the People's Republic of Larimer County. And let's welcome my friend Virginia Farver to the Common Sense Show. Virginia, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, I've been following some of what you've been doing and some of what other researchers have been saying about this, because I'm in absolute shock and horror about the dangers that we face, and I feel kind of helpless in the face of these dangers. So you're going to help us sort it out. But let's start from the very beginning, and it's probably, what, a discussion about our cell phones?
Yes. Probably a lot of your listeners already know a bit of my story. I lost a son in 2008 from glioblastoma brain cancer. Dr. Tantawaya out of Poway, California, I looked straight at him and I said, what caused this? And he said, your son's cell phone. So my son lived just shy of 7 months with this disease. It's a horrible disease. I don't want anybody to get it. And so after my son passed away, I started researching everything I could on cell phones. And I realized that cell phone manuals already say right inside of these that they are, you are not to put these near your head or near your bodies. So, but it's in such small font, and nobody really knew what was going on. And during my research, I also found out that my son was involved in a brain cancer cluster on the San Diego State University campus. And what that means, Dave, is there's several people that have been diagnosed or have passed away from a certain type of cancer, and it seems to be an unusually large amount of people that have died. So this is what I got myself into.
Yeah, you're a classic case, and I've said this before when I've had you on, but you're a classic case of turning the proverbial lemon into lemonade. An unimaginable loss. I can't even imagine what it was like to go through that. But now, when I talk to people on this subject, Virginia, you're being referenced quite a bit as one of the go-to people. And it's just, I think it's very admirable and very honorable of what you're doing. But I'm really concerned because, out of necessity, I carry a cell phone around with me. So let's talk about how stupid Dave Hodges is.
Well, people have to understand, to use a cell phone, Dave, you have to have a cell tower in order for those to work. And the new cell phones, I want everybody to know, they're incredibly dangerous. Even if you hold them out in front of you, they will get a pulsed signal, and that signal will actually go into you. So you have to be very, very careful with these. And I haven't had a cell phone since 2008. I see the addiction to them, but I just don't understand it. I guess that's where I'm at. But I've traveled and everything without a cell phone, and I seem to get along just fine.
Yeah, we're so married to them, and I have to confess my own addiction to the cell phone. I try not to hold it up to my head very often because I know your story very well, and that of the tragedy of your son. But I'm married to my cell phone, as so many of us are. But I'm also seeing an increasing amount of literature on this subject that tells me just how dangerous this is. And when I try to talk to people about this, your average person, not really in the know, they say, oh, there you go again, Dave. There you go with those conspiracy theories again. There's no problem with cell phones, because if there was, the government would step in and correct the dangers.
Well, we have corporations right now that are completely running our government, and the wireless industry is a big one. It's a very nasty industry, and they've got billions of dollars, and they will squash anybody who comes out against them. So this is, it's no different than the tobacco issue. It's just that the wireless industry is just going to be a lot bigger, and it's going to cause a lot more fatalities before it's over.
Absolutely. Well, let's go back to the campus of San Diego State University. And what happened to your son was not an isolated incident, as I know. It's happening to a lot of people, both past and present, and presumably it will happen in the future. But this whole system on San Diego State University campus is part of an overall program run by various government agencies. Let's delve into that a little bit.
Okay. Just to let everybody know, you can get on antennasearch.com to find out the cell towers within your area. And I typed into that, and I had driven out to San Diego. I found these articles on the internet, and of course I started calling the administration in San Diego, and I couldn't get anywhere. And they sent me an epidemiology report written by a Dr. Thomas Mack, who works for the state of California. And he states in there that you know, that people should be uneasy, and it also states that he doesn't know, and there is no radiation or anything to worry about on the campus. So I emailed him, and he actually called me at home, and I asked him about that cell tower. I said, how can you say that there's no radiation? There's a cell tower, a huge one, right there outside of this building. And he just seemed very, very nervous, Dave, and got off. And I knew at that point it had to be that cell tower. But I actually drove out to San Diego, and I met some of the professors off campus. And anyway, we couldn't figure out what it was. the school would not help us in any way whatsoever. So when I came home, I started researching, and it took me probably 12-hour days for 4 months of working on the internet to finally crack what that cell tower had on it and what it was called.
Well, let's go there. Tell us about that cell tower.
Okay. Well, this cell tower, it's called Heprin. It's H-P-W-R-E-N. It stands for High Performance Wireless Research and Educational Network. And what it is, it's a backbone node to the UC San Diego Supercomputer Center. So I'm still finding all kinds of stuff on it. But this cell tower has all the government NITRID agencies on it. And if you look those up, it's pretty much every department within the federal government. It's got the NSA, Department of Homeland Security, the NOAA, NASA, all the departments of energy, the NIH. I mean, you name it, it's on there. And it also has all of San Diego spyware agencies on there. And that means every kind of emergency department within the local, state, and federal government there in San Diego. And it's just a very, very nasty cell tower. And I found documents where the emissions from this cell tower were illegal. And I actually wrote a couple of things down in these articles I found. It says that heparin, ironically, this link was illegal as described because under Part 15 of the FCC guides. And heparin works with the Space and Naval Warfare Systems Center and may have been operating under governmental authority. And another one was written in 2000.
Well, hold it right there.
Okay.
Virginia,
okay.
Let me interrupt you.
Sure.
It's related to what with regard to our space program?
The Space and Naval Warfare Systems Center.
Katie, I know you're on with us. Did you just do a double take, Katie, the same as I did?
Not sure if I did a double take, but my mouth is on the floor. What have they got to, what is it doing there, and what has that got to do with being near a campus?
Well, DARP is on it as well, too. So I've actually talked to some attorneys that have been fighting cell towers, and I've been told I may never know what they were doing with this cell tower. And I want people to know that this cell tower is still right there in the smack dab center of that campus. And I've been on that campus several times with signs and all types of things, and there's just kids walking all over throughout this area of campus.
Okay, give me again the exact phraseology regarding space program again. Please say that again.
Okay. It says it was illegal under Part 15. It says heparin works with the Space and Naval Warfare Systems Center and may have been operating under governmental authority.
Do you mind if I kind of take this a right turn and then we'll come back?
Sure.
Yeah, let me share with you, and I've talked about this on Doug Hagman's show. I don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, in my dad's later days before he passed, he shared with me a lot of work that he did with when he got out of the Navy. He was in Naval Intelligence, and he went to work in covert programs with Martin Marietta, which is now Martin Lockheed. And part of what he did was he was at the tail end of working with German scientists on reverse engineering both their technology and their ideas on technology. And he told me before he passed in the 80s that we had a secret military space program. He said, I've never seen the documents. He said, they categorized this. He said, and they classified at different levels. But he said, I've seen the evidence from what we were working on. And what I also know from what he told me, and Vance Davis, a friend of mine I used to speak to a lot, was with the NSA, and he's now kind of gone off to the side. But Vance also told me the same thing, and that we have deep space platforms, four of them, in geosyncretic orbit around the Earth, and they're capable of launching various kinds of attacks upon the planet, very accurate attacks. They can coordinate drones, I won't get into all the technical stuff, but when you just said the phrase you said, it made me almost fall out of my chair. Because why in the hell would they have an ancillary part of this system on a university campus, and it's connected to a space warfare system that I've had knowledge of for 20 years? Now, the reason, Virginia, I can speak about this now, I couldn't talk about it until my mom passed almost 4 years ago. because she was receiving my dad's Navy officer's pension. And if Big Mouth Dave goes out there in the public and says anything, pension could have been snatched. So I promised my dad I would never say anything until both were gone, both my parents were gone. And I haven't done a lot of talking on this, but maybe it's time I start, because this is very concerning, and I'm going to take one more right turn and come back to you. In 1961, and I've shown this video on my Intro to Psych classes, we talk about electromagnetic frequencies in the brain and how they can influence behavior. And this stuff's been out forever. 1961, Jose Delgado, a Spanish physiologist, implanted an electrode inside the limbic system, the emotional centers of the bull's brain, and proceeded to have a public bullfight, which he videotaped. This is on YouTube. And the bull comes charging at him. He presses this transmitter, and the bull stops immediately in its tracks and calmly walks away. Later, he was brought to the United States to teach at Yale University, and he expanded his research to doing it wirelessly with cats and human epileptics and a whole host of things. And then he went to work for Stanford Research Institute, which is effectively the CIA, and he didn't speak publicly or publish again as an academician until 2011, shortly before his death. And he came out publicly on a YouTube video and said, we're doing things we should not be doing. So, Virginia, let me put a bow on this and tie all this together. When you said what you just said, and we're going to talk about this interconnected system, because I know kind of where you're going with this, because we've talked. Do you see why I'm really concerned that this is connected to a space-based weapon system, and that the fact that they have the ability to affect people's psyche remotely?
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And Dave, Dave, I'm gonna go further with this, just so you know, okay? And I did find another article in 2002, and this was by Computer World, and it said Computer World received numerous email complaints that heparin was in violation of FCC power limits following publication of its original story. And this was written by a Steve Bragg. He was an engineer and internet gentleman out of Oklahoma. And he said he called the heparin San Clemente Island link illegal, saying, if I was the FCC, I would bust these guys. So this one cell tower, Dave, from what I know, it's connected to 20,000 miles worth of grid, and this one cell tower can emit signals all the way to the Arizona border and all the way out to San Clemente and throughout San Diego County. So I want people to understand that just one of these cell towers, I mean, can you imagine how many cell towers are out there and what we are being blanketed in?
Virginia, if I may, I have a thought. I'm wondering, because DARPA's involved in this, and it's so close to a college campus, do you think it could be some sort of experiment on a young, highly concentrated population, and they're actually tracking some of the effects, and possibly even, I know this sounds crazy,
well, I've read that, where they can actually induce cancers on people, so this very well could be what's happening, and I don't know. You know, just like Dave was saying, they can do all... I've read all kinds of different experiments these people can do with these towers.
Wow.
So nothing at this point would surprise me in any way. So
yeah, well, people, for their own edification, when the show's over, please, when the show's over, go to YouTube and put in Jose Delgado bullfight, and you'll see the... I think it's about a minute and a half video. And this technology, what, 1961, so we're talking almost, what, 55 years that this technology has been around, and he clearly demonstrated how pervasive it was when he came to Yale in 1963. And Virginia, you just knocked me for a loop on this, because I really haven't had reason to talk about these space platforms, and I just don't like to throw things out there for the heck of throwing them out. But I got to wonder what the end game purpose is. Are we going to be able to touch on that in our time together tonight?
I hope so. I have a lot of information. So I wanted to tell you that there's 8 NASA MOBLIS stations throughout the world, and this cell tower heparin is connected to NASA's MOBLIS 4 satellite laser ranging program. So you can also look that up too on the internet if anybody's interested. So this cell tower is just not a normal TV and radio cell tower. This thing is government, and I have fear of God in me as to what they're doing with these when I'm done, people will understand these are probably on most college campuses.
One of the things that I know that can be done, because I've seen Delgado's videos, is that these electromagnetic frequencies, when they're altered, can actually induce a state of passivity, extreme passivity, even in the face of danger. And I made the statement the other day when I was hosting a show out of Dallas, and I made the comment that, you know, what set the people off in the 60s, if they were around today in their youth and see what's going on right now with regard to some of the criminal elements operating within the U.S. government, they'd be in the street burning down every government building they could find. And they were just protesting the illegality of the Vietnam War. And what's changed in the American DNA that would just cause us to become so passive and allow our rights to be systematically trampled on a daily basis? And we may be hitting on what this is.
I have no doubt about it, Dave. I've actually been on that campus several times since my son has passed, and I've made signs, and I've gone over there, and so many times, every day I was there, I would always leave with a headache, number one. But number two, the kids were so busy, and I was in a really busy part of the campus every time I went, and these kids would change classes and whatnot, and they all had their cell phones, and so many of them were texting, and there would be 1,000 of them in one group, and I couldn't understand how they could walk and text at the same time without running into each other. And this is where we're at, Dave. And I mean, when I left that a couple of times, I would think to myself, oh no, we are in so much trouble here.
Yeah, well, we're going to step aside for a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about when you carry a cell phone around in your pocket, what can happen to you, particularly if you're a male. So all you studs out there, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, we do live in uncertain times, especially economically with the $19 trillion debt. 1.5, I can almost say it without choking up, I get so angry at this, 1.5 quadrillion credit swap derivatives debt that carries a $505 trillion annual interest rate, and the GDP of the planet is $70 trillion. Do the math on that, guys. Just the debt on the credit swap derivatives is 7 times greater than the entire GDP of the entire planet. We'll never pay this off. We will always be debt slaves until someone decides in a position of authority that it's time to crash the dollar, it's time to crash the other fiat currencies around the world, and start over with a digitized currency. And what will hold its value during the transition period? Precious metals. Precious metals has always held its value. And I also believe that if you can't touch it, don't own it, please get those gold and silver certificates out of my face. That's why I send everybody I know to my friend Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. He has a great product line, reasonably priced, and those of you who've heard Steve on my show a number of times understand he's a man of integrity and honesty. You can trust him. He is there to help you. Steve's number to call tomorrow morning is 406-586-4842. Again, his number is 406-586-4842. Also want to talk to you about the Red List News, and it's a good way to keep up on daily happenings. In fact, I'm actually recording tomorrow morning's version with Jim White immediately following the show, and you can get tomorrow's news today in under 12 minutes. 6 top stories, Jim White of Northwest Liberty News and myself, and we have a website, redlistnews.com, and a YouTube channel by the same name. Also, because we still live in those uncertain times, if credit stops, and the Baltic Dry Index is saying credit is really drying up across the planet. If credit ever stops, people, you will not have just-in-time deliveries to your supermarkets. Walmart won't have its 6 deliveries a day. And how will your 3,000-mile salad get shipped? Answer, it won't. And probably not much of anything else will get shipped either. How long will it take the grocery store shelves to empty out in such a scenario? 3 days if you're lucky, more than likely by the beginning of the second day. So what do you do? Well, you better be prepared. You know, all my LDS friends have the right idea. They have learned the hard way through a difficult history how to take care of themselves. Really, you need to be prepared and not depend on outside sources for your survival. And this is why I recommend foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, that is foodforliberty.com/Hodges. We currently are running a 10% off coupon special. Just go in and on the coupon line, just put down 10 down, put that in there, and you'll get your 10% off. And of course, we have 6 months, same as cash. That's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, our guest is Virginia Farmer, and I've actually known Virginia for quite some time, and those of you who followed this radio show from the beginning know of my association and affiliation with Stacy Lynn in our ongoing battle to help secure and reacquire her custody over her son Jaden. And Virginia knows Stacy quite well. They both live in the Fort Collins area. And this is how I met Virginia, and then she introduced me to this whole notion that you should not be carrying a cell phone in your pocket. And Virginia, I have to tell you, a lot of times, I try not to. I try to put it in my bag, you know, and keep it isolated from me. But there are times where I have to feel like I have to have it in my pocket. So talk to us about the dangers of doing such a thing.
Well, for men, it can cause testicular cancer, and it can actually cause DNA damage to offspring. So, and it takes, I talked to Katie Singer, one of these experts, and she also mm-hmm. wrote a book for me, and I'll give you the information on that a little later, but these things are just horrible for you to put near your bodies. You just need to make sure that you have them off when you're not using them. And if you can, make sure you get, if somebody has to text you, take down the notes and go try and call back on a landline phone. But these things are really dangerous, and yes, they will cause DNA damage. And I think your body, a male's body, will take 3 or 4 months for your DNA to repair itself. So they actually think there's going to be many, many decades of kids that are going to have some type of DNA damage with this. And also,
and won't
girls.
Be able to you leave there, does that affect reproductivity?
Yes, and then for women, this is part of the cause for ADHD, autism, all types of things. Katie, during this, I was at a wireless summit, and I'll talk about that a little later too, in California last weekend, and she's been telling people to turn off all the electricity to your child's room at night if you've got an autistic child, and get rid of your wireless inside your home. There's a gentleman that spoke that worked in Silicon Valley that had two autistic kids. He did this simple regimen for about a month, and both kids within a few weeks were able to speak full sentences. So this stuff is very dangerous, Dave, and it just keeps going up and up and up in power. So we've got to get a handle on this stuff.
Well, let me ask you a question from another perspective regarding these electric devices. I've got a nice little setup here. We've set aside one of our bedrooms for my radio studio, and I also have this nice, comfortable chair. And occasionally, I like to come in here and sit down on the chair and have my glass of iced tea next to me. Katie, did you hear that? Iced tea, not soda. And I will have a laptop that's on top of almost like a carrying case. It's designed to hold laptops, and I have it on my lap as I sit there, and then, you know, I can kind of kick my feet out here because it's a recliner. Is there any danger to me being in that close proximity to the laptop?
Yes. I personally, I have nothing wireless. Everything is plugged in. I have a desktop computer. I just don't have anything wireless, Dave. and to put any of these devices on you, people think, oh, it's so... I actually interviewed a couple that live here in our area. His wife were a real estate team, and she passed away from brain cancer, and she was taking... I don't have one, but I think they're called e-books where you read books. She was reading those at night and then putting them under her pillow because it kept her pillow warm. And she died from brain cancer a couple of years ago. So anything wireless, you just need to avoid it if at all possible.
Is there any increased danger by having it on my lap as opposed to having it on a tabletop in front of me?
Yes. I do. I spoke to one of these experts, you know, Steve Jobs from Apple. You know, he died from, was it pancreatic cancer? I think it was, or liver cancer or something. But anyway, this gentleman that I talked to actually knew him and said he always had a computer on his side next to him. So, you know, these people know that this stuff is dangerous, and I think it's a eugenics program, and that's where a lot of us think that this is going.
Yeah, but wouldn't, if it were eugenics, and let's say this were deliberate just for the sake of argument, wouldn't someone as prominent as Steve Jobs be in the know?
Well, I actually talked to this gentleman. I'm not going to tell his name, but he thought that Steve Jobs died a coward, and that's basically what he said, because he knew that that's what caused it and was not willing to come out about the public. And oddly enough, Ellie Marks from the California Brain Tumor Association, I'm good friends with her. I just was with her last week, and her son worked in Ted Kennedy's office, and my son, I flew him to the Duke University Tisch Brain Tumor Center. I actually arrived, my son and I arrived the day that he was leaving the hospital after his craniotomy surgery, and his office, Ted's office knew that his cell phone caused his brain cancer, and the family would still not speak out.
Why?
Because there's just money in it. I don't know. This is where we're at. We cannot figure out a lot of this stuff, Dave. And I think it's just to the point where a lot of these experts are expecting a pandemic of all sorts of tumors all over the bodies from cell phones. So this is where we're at.
I had a vet say that to me. We have a female dog that we took to have some gross taken off. And he said, darndest thing, we're seeing this on so many more animals than we've ever seen before. I bet that gets your attention, doesn't it, Virginia?
Yes, well, people are putting chips in their animals. And, you know, these devices, you know, anytime, it's just like women wearing underwire bras. You should not wear these if you're near Wi-Fi. Anything that's metal will act as an antenna. And so if you've got a house full of Wi-Fi and you've got the smart meter on your home and you're near some cell towers, and it's all, basically what I tell people, Dave, is when you go get an X-ray, this will damage your cells and your DNA instantly. And if you are around this wireless radiation, this is cumulative. So the more of it you get, the more damaging it becomes.
I'm trying to think how to ask this, because you said cumulative effect. So
right.
What I'm wondering, does one day of exposure stockpile on top of the other day, or do we need to be worried about the bursts of exposure that we get, like if we live near a high power line?
We just need to avoid as much of this stuff as possible at this point in time. So, you know, they're coming out in the next year. I think they've already started the deployments of low-orbiting satellites, which will now beam Wi-Fi down onto all of our areas. So I'm involved with a lot of people, Dave, that are really very, very nervous about what's going on.
You're kidding. I'm a little speechless here.
Yeah,
so they have these low-orbiting satellites that are going to bring us universal Wi-Fi?
Yes, and then they've come out with something called SATCOMs. They look like little Rubik cubes, and people can actually carry these around, and they are basically a wireless cell tower so that they can put it out anywhere they need to use it. So you don't know who you're going to be next to, and you know, all of our airlines are full of Wi-Fi now, and I've gotten some information that some of these pilots that have been passing out and having problems, they're now getting concerned about a lot of this stuff.
Well, that is so. So you could be in the wilds of Africa on a jeep chasing a lion, or them chasing you, and you could get onto Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes, this is what they're up to.
I'm going to play the friendly opposition side now. Well, Virginia, don't you know that if they bring this entire schema to the planet, don't you know that the purveyors of this technology, the creators, whatever nefarious purpose, if any, that they're doing this with and for, they're going to be exposed to it, as are their children. How do we reconcile that potential reality with the universality that we're all in a lot of trouble?
Well, you know, I've talked to people about this as well. I do know, like, Qualcomm in San Diego, I've had people that actually know them, and they have their whole house shielded in copper. And then the Earth is a natural shield. So, you know, this is why I think about all the elites. You know, they've got all these underground bunkers. Well, of course, Dave, this is the most perfect place for them to be, because they will be safe. And as soon as they're, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but we just need to get people educated on this. And I want parents to start going to the schools. I've gone here in our area here, and there are cell towers on all the high schools. I've bought a really nice meter, and the meters, when I get, I don't even get near the school, my meter cannot handle the emissions. And so these kids are sitting in these schools with laptops and Wi-Fi and their cell phones on them, and cell towers on the outside, and I fear for these kids, Dave. I really do.
Well, I have to say that I do know for a fact that the brain is an electrochemical device, and when you expose it to other electrical chemical frequencies, that you're going to have some kind of interaction effect. I mean, that's only common sense,
right?
But is it always going to take us down the road to cancer? I mean, is it that simple, or are we looking at something that's far more complex?
I'm not real sure. That's something I can't answer. It affects people in different ways. I do know that people need to understand. You might look up EHS symptoms. I would just talk to a gentleman when I flew to California last week. There's now a suicide cluster in some of the high schools there, and depression is one of the first and foremost symptoms of this type of radiation. And then I, in my mind, Dave, I take it a step further. So most of these kids are going to these schools, and they're completely just getting engulfed in this stuff. And so they have fatigue, depression, headaches, all this kind of stuff, and they don't know why. So the parents take them to the doctors, and the doctors are giving out medications for depression. So then what happens, in my mind, is I think that if anybody takes this depression medication throughout the years, then if they ever go to purchase a gun, they will never be allowed to have
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah,
so
that's
think that's
true.
Where a lot of this is going to.
That is,
Virginia.
Katie, I was going to bring you into this. Go ahead, Katie.
I just had a strange connection made in my head. Do you know if lead actually blocks radiation?
You know, this is. I had a gentleman from Arizona, that an expert with this, that came in and went through my house this year, and you just have to be really, really careful, because sometimes, if you do shielding, you can actually make the problem worse, because then if you've got anything within your house that's emitting that type of thing, I'm not an expert on that stuff, so I don't want to really comment on that. But
why I'm asking is, I was wondering, didn't Wi-Fi come out just maybe a decade or so after the big get rid of lead paint, which everyone's home was coated
right.
in lead paint?
Right.
And I thought, well, if that's a natural protectant, wouldn't it make
right.
sense that 10 or 20 years before, they had to have an anti-lead campaign?
Right, and we've thought about that. And the other thing, too, is they used to make window screens out of aluminum, and they don't do that anymore either. And that was a natural shielding element too. So
exactly.
Yeah, but you know, this is where, again, this is where we're at. If we're going to have these low orbiting Wi-Fi transmitters, you know, I mean, we're just in a lot of trouble. So.
Well, Katie, let me just pose this to you. The lead, wasn't that taken off our paint-based material that we used on houses and off the screens because we thought kids were getting lead poisoning? What was it, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
Now, we're going back to my much earlier days, but I think, wasn't that the justification that lead poisoning was the reason they removed this?
Yes, that was the reasoning, because little kids in their cribs were picking the paint chips and eating them and getting lead poisoning. I'm thinking, okay, how many children were picking the paint off lead that they would remove lead from an entire industry? It never made sense to me. So my curiosity is, was there something they knew ahead of time that they planned this 10 or 20 years out? We've got to get rid of this natural protectant, because they've had Wi-Fi. They've known Wi-Fi technology long before it was introduced, I believe.
Right.
You know, the whole space program has known about this much, much longer than since Steve Jobs came along.
Well, so, and you know,
yeah,
I like
the whole paint chip thing is bogus.
And then the smart meters, Dave, I found documents in early 2000 where they were investigating these smart meters and things. So this stuff, they've been pushing this stuff all along, and we're the last to know about it, that's for sure.
This is throwing me for a loop, because I hadn't considered the lead aspect of it. I'm just going to put my common sense hat on for a second, okay? There are conspiracies. There's no question. And most people do things during the course of their day through a conspiracy. They're conspiring with one person to get a task done. There are two bad people that conspire to perform a ripoff of some sort. But we're talking a conspiracy then that was in place to remove lead far in advance of when these technologies came to us in a public manner. And that's the disconnect I'm having trouble making an association with, that this is some kind of long-term plot, because cell phones weren't even around when we were talking about lead poisoning.
But it's also, lead paint would protect a home from being x-rayed, which they have that technology too now. So it's just my mind putting it together.
That is interesting.
Well, you know, this whole thing started with me with the cell phone, and then I went to this, and then I found out about that cell tower on the campus, which is also part of the smart grid, by the way, and it's actually mission control for San Diego Gas and Electric. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm reading about these smart meters and thinking, oh, they surely won't put these on our homes, and here we are. So they've just, and now I'm going to tell you guys further about what's going on, because, you know, of course, this cell tower has pretty much everything on it. It's hooked to several different grids, the Pragma grid, the Abilene grid, the Terra grid, the Genie grid. I mean, and they're all connected, and so this is how these schools, this is why it's called the smart grid, because they're all connected together. But what they all do is they all connect to Stanford University's VLF research group, which is HARP. So this is the connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really quick. High active auroral frequency program. Nick Begich exposed this 20 years ago in a terrific book called Angels Don't Play This HARP. And he said that you could bounce electrical beams off this array of antenna in Gakona, Alaska, the HARP facility, bring it back to Earth broad spectrum to affect an entire population and their mood, and you could do it on narrow. And he had every patent known to man on this topic that was in his book. It was probably the best research book I've ever read. So you're saying here that Stanford is in bed with HARP, and these other technologies are plugging into this?
Yes. All you have to do is look up the Stanford University VLF Research Group, and it's all HARP research. and the government has said that they were going to shut down the facility up in Alaska, and I'm like thinking to myself, well, of course they can, because now the grid's in place. They've got it on all these college campuses and everything, and that's where this term global is coming from, because it's all now, it's a global grid. That's what's going on.
Well, let's talk about the implications of doing this. What for what purpose do these interconnections exist?
Do what exist?
For what purpose? You know, you've got the grid out of San Diego, the smart grid. These grids are all across the country are plugging in to Stanford and HARP. For what purpose?
I'm not real sure. There again, with Nick Beglich, I think that he's spot on with it. And I have a fear. I've read enough to know that they can do things with mind control and that type of thing. They can keep a whole area docile, for instance. So, you know, this doesn't surprise me, Dave, at all. And then
Katie,
this,
go ahead, Georgia.
No,
I was going to bring Katie into this with regard to energy healing and frequencies. We did a show, I think it was in February, but Katie did a fascinating show.
Mm-hmm.
On healing frequencies in the human body. And I know that U of A is University of Arizona here, where I live in Arizona, that they've done a fair amount of research into this as well, too. Katie, let's throw this out on the table, okay, because we might find a connection.
Right. We were going to cover that in Dr. Toshiro's segment. There may be some solutions, or at least some antidotes to some of this. And I think it's for anyone out there, any engineers, I think this is the wave of the future, no pun intended, but to create individual units. There actually are some out there, which we'll cover in that hour, in that half hour, but there are units that you can wear, units you can put in your home that literally, what Dr. Toshiro describes as, it's called a memonizer, and you can put them on your machinery, your computers, or you can attach them to your unit, your electrical unit outside, your fuse box. And what it does is it turns the frequency wave, in the opposite direction, which is less damaging to human tissue. And so there aren't enough of these companies producing these to just go out and go to Home Depot or go and buy one. So this is our way of combating some of this. Yes, removing these and educating people, we've got to do that. But I think a booming industry would be having small home units where you can test the frequencies in your home, find out where they're coming from, and small units that you can actually wear if you're out and about. Shopping malls are just Wi-Fi crazy. Anywhere you go where there's a large building, I was doing the trade show today, and it's Wi-Fi central, and you're trapped in this gigantic facility with metal walls, and everyone's eyes were watering, people had headaches. It's very evident. I call my smartphone now my little mini suicide unit. So there are small pouches you can get, little Faraday pouches you can get for your phones. So there's things that we can do, but it's an amazing revelation, Virginia. So
yeah, the reason I wanted you to bring these comments in, Katie, is because of the fact that this has direct applicability to health. And I think, Virginia,
absolutely,
I'm coming to the opinion here that with this technology, the technology is neutral. It's the application of it that's either good or bad.
Right. And I don't know enough about that to comment on it, but I do know enough to know that a lot of the stuff that we're being exposed to right now is very damaging to our health. So, you know, that's where I, you know, I'll let this other doctor talk about that, but you know, my thing is trying to get parents to understand how damaging this is, and you just don't want to send your kids off to these schools anymore without paying attention to what they're being exposed to. My son was, you know, in his mid-20s when he took off to San Diego, and of course I'm not going to go over to the campus. I thought he was in good hands, and I actually investigated. I was telling Dave on the phone the other night that I actually investigated three other cancer clusters, so I can maybe talk about those as well, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I think one of them involves at least a school. I think we had that discussion, and I do want to go there. And I also want to brainstorm in the second hour when we come back. And this will strictly be brainstorming and hypothesizing, because we got a lot of data. Why would this be tied into the Space Command Program for weapon systems? I want you guys to both consider this over the break, as will I. And let's put our cards on the table, because, you know, you see something and something just doesn't sit right with you. That's where I'm at with this right now. This thing has been gnawing at me, and I'm listening to every word both of you are saying. But this revelation by Virginia is gnawing at me like there is something really big there that we're not seeing. And my gut is screaming times 100 that I need to be paying attention to this. So I definitely want to hit that when we come back. Virginia, very quickly here, we got about a minute before the break, actually about 30 seconds. Are they leaving you alone in Fort Collins? And do you still have the smart meter they forced you to take on your house?
Right now they are leaving me alone.
Okay, because for the listening audience, we had Virginia on, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and they basically had told her in the dead of winter that in Colorado, if you do not put a smart meter onto your house, we are going to shut off your power. And effectively, you could freeze to death. That would be, was that the city of Fort Collins that did that to you?
Yes. And everybody needs to know that per 2005 Energy Policy Act, it clearly states that smart meters are upon customer request.
So you allegedly have an option. But didn't they come and put this on your house and they used the police to guard the workers?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Well, we live in such a police state, don't we? Okay, folks, we're going to go to our top of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll continue with some of those questions that I just raised. And if you want to text us your question, you can do so. Dave Hodges at thecommonsenseshow.com. We'll see you at hour number two.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.